Let's be honest, surveys aren't cutting it anymore. Response rates are low, focus groups take weeks, and at the end of it all, you still don't know how people really feel. Talkalytics changes that. Talkalytics is a voice-based feedback platform that captures what your customers are saying and how they're saying it. Tone, emotion, sentiment, the stuff that actually drives decisions. Whether you're testing brand messaging, creative, product concepts, or just want to know if your campaign is hitting the mark, Talkalytics gives you answers that go way beyond the checkbox. Emotionally connected customers spend twice as much. If you want to create real connection, it starts by listening differently. Head to talkalytics.com/getinsights to see how it works. That's talkalytics.com/getinsights. Talkalytics, because the voice always tells you more. Listening to AW360, a podcast from Advertising Week. Recorded live at Advertising Week Europe 2025 in London, AW360 features thought leadership conversations with the best and the brightest in the advertising, marketing, and technology communities. If you enjoy AW360, we'd appreciate it if you took the time to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice, left a positive review, or shared with your friends and colleagues. Thanks for listening. You're listening to the AW360 podcast, where we're recording live at the third and final day of Advertising Week Europe 2025 here at 180 Studios in London. I'm joined today by Zoe Dawson, Associate Creative Director at Shape History. Zoe, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. Having a good day.
Good. For starters, tell us a little bit about Shape History and your role there.
So Shape History is a social impact creative communications agency. So we work with charities, NGOs, organizations, purpose-led brands, all that jazz, basically anything that wants to make a difference. And my role is coming up with ideas for campaigns, some brands, and then kind of turning that into 360 campaigns.
So fun and doing good.
Yeah, it's great.
Excellent. Well, you know, you've worked on rebranding efforts for major advocacy groups like the Refugee Council. What are some of the key insights or turning points in shifting that conversation from something divisive to something more inclusive and unifying?
Yeah, so in the case of Refugee Council particularly, but actually quite a lot of the brands and organizations that I work with, we're talking about topics and issues that people feel very intensely about. Mm-hmm. And because just the world is a bit of a dumpster fire and there is so much division and polarization, it can be really hard to just like calmly have a conversation about important issues without kind of joining in the culture wars. And so for Refugee Council in particular, it was all about trying to figure out how you could communicate to the average Brit whilst also being authentic to the refugees that they support. And one of the ways that we went about that was by having refugees like right at the center of the project. So we kind of co-created with them across like messaging and then also like an illustration workshop that we did with them. So a lot of the illustration in the brand are from refugees. And I think that piece of kind of co-creation, but also basically getting people to tell their own story and people to tell their own lived experience is a really great way to A, just literally be inclusive, but also make the whole thing feel more approachable to other people because it's coming straight, in the case of Refugee Council, it's coming straight from refugees.
Yeah.
So it just feels that you can connect a little easier.
Well, you said dumpster fire, so that is a great segue to my next question. In today's increasingly polarized world, be it dumpster fire or not, how do you craft narratives around complex issues like refugee rights that resonate across political and cultural divides without watering down that message?
That is a good question. And I think it's difficult. And one of the things I always say to partners, clients, is if you're going to try and say everything to everyone, you're going to say nothing to anyone. I think that's true across all like advertising forms, whatever. But I think it's particularly true for sort of impact. And the worst thing you can do is try and be everybody's friend, because then no one really cares. And I think part of the polarization, difficult world that we're in is that, like, charities, for example, there are thousands of causes screaming at you for help because a lot of help is needed at the moment. And only the people who are sort of standing up with a really clear message have any chance to get heard. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you don't want to be provocative for the sake of it. You don't want to use the experiences of the people you're trying to help as almost like clout or like a tool to get attention.
A little exploitative in a way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, we know that guilt tripping people works, but it gives a kind of bitter taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's generally about balance. So yeah.
What role do you think emotionally driven, sort of human-centered storytelling plays in shifting that public perception and driving real social change?
I think it's huge. I mean, I'm an advertising nerd, so it's not surprising that I think that. But I do actually feel like if you can tell a story that convinces someone to feel something, which in theory should be all stories or all good stories.
You would think.
Or all stories well told. As soon as you can get someone to feel something, you can then change their heart, change their mind. And once you've changed their heart, you've changed their mind, you can get them to be part of a bigger change. So I think it's like, if you can get someone to feel a modicum of empathy, that can then spark the next step of like trying to understand more. I think there's a thing of like, everyone talks about like think, feel, do, but there's a lot of evidence that people feel first. They find the practical answer to it after they've already basically made the gut decision. Mm-hmm. And I think that when it comes to storytelling and social issues is the thing. It's like, if you can get someone to feel it and then you back it up with why it matters, that then leads to kind of big, big long-term change. I don't know if I answered your question there.
You did. You did, but, actually. Yeah. And actually, kind of going back to, you know, what you were talking about before, you know, striking that balance between sort of boldness and relatability in your work, you know, with advocacy, is, it can't be a small feat. What sort of strategies or creative principles help you make campaigns that grab that attention, but also invite empathy?
Yeah. So, I mean, I mentioned co-creation with the Refugee Council. That's something that we bring into a lot of our work. And I think that's a big part, which is, as I said, if you hear the message from the person directly, mm-hmm. especially when you're talking about kind of divisive topics, that's a great help. So I think co-creation and like involving the people in question is one of our kind of very much guiding principles. And then I think it's also understanding the audience and what actually matters to them. Because I think when it comes to advocacy and stuff, there are so many social issues that you want everyone to care about, but how do they actually connect to somebody's individual life? So I think, again, charities and so on, they have the habit of caring so much about their own cause that they completely forget about the audience or the yeah. person they're trying to talk to. And we all hear about politics all the time. We all hear about all these things all the time. And so actually figuring out how you connect, I think, is the big thing. So that's, I think, my sort of process with it is, who are you trying to convince of something? It can't be everyone. What do they, why does it matter to them? Which is true for everything, right? But yeah. especially, I think, in this. And then how can I bring in the sort of authentic story that connects what someone wants and needs and feels with a cause, rather than just sort of shoving it down your throat?
You know, from advocacy to advertising, your sort of creative toolkit is pretty diverse in script writing, branding, campaign design. I have quite the list here. What's an example of a time when creativity truly became a catalyst for change in one of your projects?
I mean, yes, I'm a jack of all trades, master of none type creative. The best example, I think, is we did a campaign with Amnesty International last year, featuring Olivia Colman. And the creative idea was actually, as I was just saying about audience, it was, we know that people connect with kind of issues when they're like watching TV, watching drama, like having a nice time, but they really switch off when those things feel too real. So that just led the insight that the creative was basically create a trailer for a drama that didn't exist. But it's not drama, it's real life. Lots of bad things are happening to human rights. And that was an attitude campaign, an attitude change campaign. And so we tested with like hundreds of the public whether it had actually shifted attitudes. And it was something like a 20% increase in people who realized that human rights were relevant to the UK and to their lives. And like, again, a big increase in people who felt like they cared about UK human rights. And the purpose of the campaign was, I think the brief was, get Middle Britain to give a shit about human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, by kind of, rather than going in with human rights, we went in with Olivia Fulman and drama and that side of things.
20% is pretty huge, though.
Yeah, I mean, don't quote me exactly on 20%.
20-ish%.
20-ish%. But yeah, and it's hard sometimes with like attitude change, behavior change, which is a lot of social impact. It's hard to measure. But there was just a lot of people talking about it and a lot of people like starting conversations about it online and using that as a way to talk about topics that they might not have otherwise talked about. So sort of within the frame of drama, which is great. It's like adolescence at the moment. Everyone's talking about adolescence on Netflix. And obviously that is a real TV show, unlike mine, which was a 3-minute fake TV show. But the ability that that has had to drive such social change, which comes through culture.
Zoe, if one wanted to find out more about you or Shape History, where should they go?
Shapehistory.com.
Shapehistory.com. What could be easier? Well, thank you so much for taking the time. This was great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to AW360. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's ever-growing roster of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries, including The Trustmakers, our podcast with the Edelman Trust Institute, now in its 4th season. You'll find all of Advertising Week's podcasts at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening.